College with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We'll talk some UVA sports here on a Friday and get you ready for the weekend. And first up is there was a surprising email in my inbox Friday afternoon coming from UVA. The headline, Strengthened Policy on Admission of Student Athletes. UVA initiated a process a few months ago in line with, you know, we've had these scandals in other places in the NCAA, both the basketball scandals with, you know, the cases at several schools involving coaches who were funneling money to players and their families, those famed trials that I think they now appear to be over. I think the worst fallout from that, from a criminal standpoint, has been seen. We'll now see what the NCAA does in terms of its own processes. But also those cases involving celebrities, Hollywood types, the wealthy trying to sort of use the student-athlete recruitment process to get their kids into schools that maybe they wouldn't otherwise get into. UVA announced today that they began a process several months ago led by a former U.S. attorney, Tim Heafy, to review the UVA policies, procedures, in terms of athlete recruitment, and to get a sense of how UVA, there's a new president, of course, Jim Ryan. There's a relatively new, still, we'll still call Carla Williams a new athletics director. She's been on the job for a couple of years now, but the review included just looking back several years. And for the most part, the review, I'll kind of quote from the article, the review did not uncover cheating on the SAT or ACT or other standardized tests, nor misrepresentation of academic credentials by prospective student athletes recruited by UVA, as was true in those federal cases being prosecuted. The review also found no evidence of private payments made to athletics or admissions personnel for exercising potential illicit influence. The story did note that the review did identify a small number of cases from several years ago where the prospect of a gift appears to have motivated the recruitment of student-athletes. The review also found a few instances where recruited student-athletes did not ultimately participate on the team for which they were recruited. That's sort of the issue that came up in those celebrity cases where folks were, you know, sort of paying their way for their kids to be, what was it, there were some sailing team recruits that were bogus, that kind of thing. UVA says to protect the privacy of those students, the UVA will not discuss those specific cases, but they've taken remedial action to make sure that they don't happen again. We're striving to be universities both great and good, President Ryan said. This requires in athletics that we continue to aim for the success in competition, and that we also continue to uphold the highest standards in our recruitment and in our commitment to academic achievement. This is the kind of thing that, you know, you wish every school did, right? That they would take this sort of, hold a mirror up and look at themselves. It's one of those things that kind of sets UVA apart, I guess, is that at a place where there are no issues, they still look and make sure. And so that's, that is news. The strengthened policy on the admission of student athletes. I mean, some places the admission policy. Obviously, UVA it says here in the story too that athletic skill and ability to contribute to a team are factors in admission. But you still have to be able to meet the academic requirements at UVA. And there was one year, I think it was 2005 or 2006, Al Groh had 8 of his 24. Player class recruited that year, eight members of that class not admitted for various reasons. So, athletics does not run the admissions department, and that's good to know. And UVA, even with that having been the case before this review, they're going to strengthen that policy. So, you're listening to this podcast, you're a UVA fan, you might say, gosh, we're hamstringing ourselves by doing this. No, you want to win the right way. This is how you win the right way. You just make sure. Other UVA news and notes. Wrote a note on the website today about Joe Harris. Good old Joe. Basketball Joe. Joey Hoops. Joey Buckets. He's in camp with Team USA competing for a spot on the roster for the World Cup team. And it depends on who you read as to whether or not you think he's got a chance to make this team. Now, if you're listening to this podcast on Friday, tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, there will be an inter-squad scrimmage. get these words out, airing from Las Vegas on NBA TV, 10 p.m. Eastern. And Harris was elevated to the senior team. They call the teams the senior team and the select team. The select team is guys who you got to practice against somebody, and you want to have your full roster sort of – you don't want to just play scrimmages with certain skins or different color pennies. You actually do want to – you know, work on offensive sets, defensive rotations, that kind of thing. So Harris has been with this senior team, and if he makes the team, he would be the only 40% plus three-point shooter from the NBA in 2018-2019 on the team. And you got to think that's a skill in international ball, right? I mean, the international game is space the floor. You know, catch-and-shoot skills are valued, and Joe's there. Quote from Joe, you can't put too much pressure on yourself to make shots, but because whether or not they go in, you're creating space for everybody else. That's what you want, especially in settings like this where everybody's got a tendency to pack it in defensively. If you've got one guy that can create a little bit of space for somebody that can get downhill, it opens up everything offensively. So, yeah, you know, Team USAs that have struggled in the past have been those kind of teams that rely more on the athleticism than on spacing the floor properly. Joe might have let's root for Joe as far as having a chance to make this team this year. That's positive news related to UVA. Here's some kind of sad news. Kurt Binker had a really solid game in the Hall of Fame game, the first exhibition game of the 2019 NFL season for Atlanta. He was 19 for 34, 185, one touchdown. Injured his toe, and injured one of his toes. I don't know which. It was a big toe on one of his feet. And I didn't see, you know, I have no reports on which foot it was, which big toe it was as a result. But the important thing is that it was an injury that he left the game in the fourth quarter. He was going to finish out the second half, left the game in the fourth quarter. Matt Schaub took over for him. Schaub had started the game for the Falcons. Well, Tuesday, the Falcons put him on injured reserve after a weekend, I guess, of waiting to see if the swelling went down, to get the MRIs, you know, to see what the situation was. By Tuesday, it was pretty clear. His season's over. Injury reserve means your season's over. Wednesday, Binker had surgery, and what a tough break for the young man. Now, the Falcons are apparently still high. From a scan of articles, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, NFL.com, the Falcons are going to keep him on injury reserve this year. They were really impressed with his work in the offseason. Now, Binker, of course, the undrafted free agent, from the 2018 draft class, 2018, I would say UVA alum, but he graduated from ECU in 3 years, so he's got a graduate degree from UVA. Binker spent the 2018 NFL season on the practice squad with the Falcons after participating in camp with Atlanta last year, having some up and down preseason for Atlanta last year, but enough was shown to earn that practice squad spot, learning the offense. And then spending the whole offseason from the spring and the summer learning and drilling in this offense. The thought was that he could perhaps take over the backup job to Matt Ryan. The good news, if there's any good news, is for Matt Schaub, 38-year-old that he is probably going to be the backup again as a result. The competition was going to be between Binker and Schaub. For that spot, and the Falcons seem to be high on Binker, but shut down, injury reserve, and he will be rehabbing yet again. And he's someone who, when he came to UVA, he came off of a medical redshirt year his last year at ECU. He had a knee injury, a severe, I think, a torn ACL that had set him back. So we'll see how Binker responds. But again, the Falcons seem to be high on him as a guy that can be their backup in the future. Other UVA news and notes, the ACC Network announces a UVA basketball documentary will run on the ACC Network. No date for when it will run. The ACC, ESPN folks, ACC have been just inundating us with press releases about everything you can imagine. I'm still trying to get on major cable systems like the one I'm on with Comcast Xfinity. And a number of other systems right now that are not right now, at least as of our broadcast time here, ACC network carriers. But the This documentary will be called Unbelievable Virginia's Improbable Path to a Title. It will air exclusively on the ACC network, which means you're supposed to take that message and say, carrier, give us ACC network. I wrote a quick piece on the website just basically to say, hey, seems like the perfect thing to do after you've read your copy of Team of Destiny in South Virginia's Virginia basketball's run to the 2019 National Championship, written by yours truly and Jerry Radcliffe. And I made sure to include the blurb from Nick Vitale and a link to buying your copy. So, that's a fun thing. For those of us who think that ESPN is VSPN and all they want to talk about is Duke, we did actually win the national title this year, and so they're going to recognize that. Isn't that awesome? They do pay attention to these kinds of things. A little bit more in the UVA news and notes section on this podcast. Kind of a quick one today, because we're still in the silly season. It's football camp time, and just kind of news and notes and all over the place. I wrote a column, and you got to click on this. I had some fun with it. You'll hear me talking about it here, I guess, so maybe you don't have to read the column. The headline was provocative enough. Three articles about UVA athletics that peed me off. I'll just say the word pissed me off. I'm always reading about what other people are having to say about UVA athletics and our alums and that kind of thing. The first one was an article that appeared. Where did this one appear? It was in The Athletic. It was The Athletic and Bleacher Report were the main places for these fun articles. it was about Malcolm Brogdon, and finally, it's coming up here. Bleacher Report article about the NBA offseason moves we celebrated way too quickly. They put Malcolm Brogdon number one, and the point was made by this writer, Mandela Namaste, is that Brogdon doesn't rank well among point guards in certain categories. Well, that's all great. I pointed out one issue is that Malcolm Brogdon is not a point guard. Now Milwaukee listed him as a point guard on their box scores. I don't know, they also listed a couple other guys as point guards on their box scores. Milwaukee runs their offense through this guy you might have heard of, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the 7 foot tall power forward, but he's so uniquely skilled that when he's in the game, he's the initiator, and they spread the floor with shooters. And Brogdon, you might have heard about this, but he's a shooter. 50-40-90 guy. There have been 10 guys in NBA history who've had a full season shooting 50-plus percent from the floor, 40-plus percent from three-point range, 90-plus percent from the free throw line, and Malcolm is one of those 10. That's what he does for you. Now, so if Indiana was thinking they were signing the next John Stockton or Russell Westbrook when they signed Malcolm Brogdon, well, they didn't. They didn't think that. They got what they were expecting. Now, Victor Oladipo will be out. He's recovering from a late season injury. He'll be out until December or January. You put those two guys together, they're PER numbers. They're both 17.5 PER guys. That backcourt could be pretty formidable. The Pacers also signed Jeremy Lamb, a double-digit scorer, PER in the 16 range. This is going to be a good team. They're not going to have a traditional point guard that is going to penetrate. A 6'2 guy is going to penetrate the lane and dish and all this kind of stuff. But that's not what the Pacers were looking for. Honestly, that's not what basketball really is about these days. Steph Curry is the best point guard in the NBA. He's not one of those guys. He's a shoot-first point guard. I would advise all three of these guys we'll talk about in this column maybe you should watch the games when you write. The next guy is the guy who has DeAndre Hunter second on his list of NBA rookies who won't live up to their draft spot. I'm clicking on the story. My internet's kind of slow in my podcast room today for some reason. that kind of pop up here. Well, maybe here we go. There's another Bleacher Report article. Wow, they're winning here, these Bleacher Report guys. DeAndre wasn't the number one guy on this list, unlike our buddy Malcolm. NBA rookies who won't live to the draft spot. So among the quotes from Jonathan Wasserman, Hunter may turn into a fine role player, even as a rookie, but he won't finish the top five prospect in this class. Okay, well, he lacks athleticism, which means he's never watched DeAndre Hunter play. He isn't a blow-by athlete. I guess he never watched DeAndre get to the win. Just watch the national championship game. That's all you got to watch. He's not an explosive finisher, okay. And his jump shot comes with legitimacy questions. Hunter shot 43.8% on threes last year. Those are your legitimacy questions, okay? Shove them 68.6% on shots at the rim. Not bad for a guy who can't get past people or finish. Another quote, the New Orleans Pelicans, who turned their number four pick, the Pelicans traded the number four pick that they had acquired from the Lakers to the Hawks for the 8 and 17 picks. The Pelicans, who turned number four into Summer League star Jaxson Hayes and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, will wind up thanking Atlanta for falling in love with Hunter. Jaxson freaking Hayes. This kid was on the bench on his high school team 2 years ago. Literally somehow turned a 10.5 rebound a game single freshman season at Texas into being a number 8 pick. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who was absolutely freaking owned by DeAndre Hunter every time UVA played Virginia Tech the last 2 years. The Summer League stars are going to make the Pelicans think, nah. Jaxson Hayes pick was a dumb pick on their part anyway. Alexander Walker, I cannot tell you. You heard me say this on podcast leading into the NBA draft. I can't tell you a single reason why you would draft him. Second round pick, last pick in the second round. I can't tell you a single reason why you'd want him on your team. So there you go. Last group in our group of idiots here, the writer who, this was from The Athletic, who has Bryce Hall going in the second or third round of the NFL draft, which is fine. You make money in the second or third round of the NFL draft, and, you know, once you're in the league, it doesn't matter where you're drafted. It kind of does. You get paid more if you're a second or third round pick or if you're a first round pick. But the reason why this guy said that Bryce Hall would be a second or third round pick at best, two words, quote, pedestrian speed, unquote. Pedestrian speed. He said he's a 4.5 or 4.6 guy. Okay, that's fine. Go to the story. I linked to the play. The play. If you're thinking about Bryce Hall at all, you remember the play. Travis Homer is running free down the left side of the formation. Let's see. The snap is at the, looks like at about the 15-yard line on Miami's side of the field. Bryce Hall was lined up in coverage on the right side of the Miami formation, left side of the UVA defensive formation. Homer's gone. He gets through the line. He's gone. He's streaking down the line. I talked with Bryce Hall about this play at the ACC kickoff a few weeks ago because he just turns his head down and starts running after Homer. And I said, I asked Hall, did you think you were going to catch him? He said, no, but you're supposed to play it out. Well, he's one of the guys on the team. UVA uses a monitoring system called Catapult to measure a lot of things. But among the things that are measured is the top-end speed. He reached 22 miles per hour on this play. Now, for reference, the NFL uses the catapult system as a matter of course. There were three guys in the NFL in single instances for each guy who reached 22 miles per hour on a play last year. Three guys in the NFL who reached 22 miles per hour. None of them named Tyreek Hill, incidentally. His top was 21.95. So, pedestrian speed, stick it up your ass. You don't know what you're talking about. All three of these guys, watch basketball, watch football, then write about it. That's all I got to recommend to you. If you do that, you might come up. You know, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. In fact, when I was reading one of these articles, I left a word out. But, you know, the thing I do when I write article, when I have a hot take, and these are all hot takey kind of articles, when you have a hot take is, man, I just don't want to embarrass myself. You know, I want to do research. I mean, I've got the idea in my head. I want to say this, write it this way, whatever, but I still, you got to have numbers to back it up. You got to have something to back it up. These were things that, I mean, this whole article took me 30 minutes to write, and there were three things. That's 10 minutes per thing to refute. It didn't take much research. Just research stuff. Just look it up. But anyway, whatever. So we end on that note. We talked about Kurt Benkert. We talked about Joe Harris. Again, that's 10 o'clock tonight, Friday night, if you're listening to this podcast on Friday. And if not, check out Augusta Free Press. We'll watch it for you and tell you about it this weekend. But we're going to see if Joe Harris can get on Team USA. We're going to see what else we want to do. We want to root for Kurt Benkert to get better and have a shot at that backup job next year, unfortunately, for him. Malcolm and DeAndre and Bryce Hall, love you guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We had a great VMI football podcast. We got this one here on UVA Sports. I'll talk with Jerry Carter this weekend. So we're kind of banking some things up for you to listen to as you make your way around wherever you are this weekend doing things. So hopefully if you're out, if you have to paint your porch or you have to do some yard work or you have some traveling to do, maybe you at least got some things to listen to, and please check them all out. Thanks for your time. Wahoo-wah.